email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, big news across social media, a comet on the way to Earth, or maybe, from beyond our solar system. They're calling it 3i Atlas, and there's loads of debate whether it is actually a comet or is it a spaceship containing aliens. Well, Kevin Nolan, lecturer in physics at Technological University Dublin, is here with us. Good afternoon, Kevin.
How you doing?
I know you get very excited by a story like this.
Sure.
So, firstly, this is the third time ever.
Yeah.
Third time ever what?
That we've discovered something that's come from outside the solar system. So that's even remarkable in itself. I mean, we've detected this tiny object, maybe a couple of hundred metres long, that's come from a different star system. And it's hurtling through our solar system at an extraordinary rate, as you often hear even in science fiction movies, at a hyperbolic path. So we can tell from its trajectory it's not from our solar system. And it's booting through it and we'll leave it then very soon after.
Okay. So the fact that it's coming from so far away,
yes.
Is that what's given it so much speed?
Well, it was obviously, if we say it's a natural object, which most of the scientists do think, then it must have been in some calamity in another solar system, maybe an interaction with a star, or like a star passing by, like remember the asteroid that brought and wipe out the dinosaurs. So we get solar systems moving near each other. Like the sun has about a trillion comets around it. If it moves near another star, many of those are knocked out of orbit. So this is one that's been knocked out of its old solar system and passing through ours. And we wouldn't have thought much about that, but now our telescopes are big enough to detect them.
Aha. So third time ever in the history of us looking at the stars.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's going at a speed that it's hard to get your head around.
Oh yeah, it's 200,000 kilometres an hour. Like it's twice as fast as anything in the solar system. And in fact,
say that again.
200,000 kilometres per hour. More than that, actually, about 209. So it's really ridiculously fast. It's also travelling in a very unusual kind of coming from above and, or it's actually from below and up above through the solar system. So it's not in the same plane as the planets going around the sun. So we can just tell it's very, very unusual.
Right.
And so that has sparked the debate. What is it?
You know? So because of all these factors, people are going, it may not be what we think it is.
Yeah. And actually, this spawns from a gentleman, a physicist in Harvard called Avi Loeb, or Loeb, who actually proposed that the first one of these discovered Omnium, which is a Hawaiian name for a traveller. He proposed in 2017 it might be an alien object because it was very cigar shaped, very unusual shaped. And he'd also done some work, I just was reading before this, on detecting some unusual magnetic materials in our ocean floor. He might have proposed came from artificial craft. So although he's not flavour of the month in the astronomy circles, he isn't coming from a complete crackpot position.
Okay.
And after all, we've sent two Voyager spacecraft into interstellar space. So we've done it.
That's one of them contains the gold disc of all the sounds.
Yeah, both of them do indeed, yeah.
Right. With I love doing this and I do it every time nearly, Kevin, but there could be two people, two whatever, elsewhere discussing that somewhere.
Yes.
In a different solar system.
Exactly. Now, ours won't get anywhere near another solar system for a long,
will
long time.
Right.
No, it won't. But the thing is, like, time, the Milky Way's been around for about 10 billion years. Like, we know, I'll tell you just to say, we think this is a natural comet. And what we're very excited in science about is that we think it's older than the solar system, so we can learn lots from it.
But older than our
solar system. We think it's about 7 billion years old, maybe more. Yeah, it's crazy. And so, what I will say is, I'm kind of giving you two things at once here.
Yeah.
From a science standpoint, we're very excited because we can learn something really more fundamental about nature than we could ever learn from our own solar system.
Like what?
Well, first of all, we don't know how life came about, and we don't know how the sun came about or even our planets. Well, we have very strong ideas, but we don't have the exact details. And so we're always trying to, if you ask somebody how did life form, we can give you, well, maybe in a pond, the primordial pond, but how? How precisely? What were the materials? And with discoveries like this, we've discovered that the nucleotides in DNA are actually made in space. So we make very fine discoveries about the basics of biology by looking at objects like this, and we've done it already. So it can give us a whole new set of insights. And secondly, if we wanted to travel to the system that it came from, it would take us hundreds of years. We'd never be able to do it. So it's come here. So scientifically, it's really exciting.
Okay. But so 200,000 kilometres an hour, say 209,000 kilometres an hour, we won't be able to get near it to do any sort of scientific experimentation.
Not this one, but the other two that came in that we know in a few years, we could catch up with.
Right.
And it's estimated that with this new Vera Rubin telescope I've talked about in Chile coming online, we'll discover at least 100 of these in the next 10 years. So the proposal is to kind of get a big rocket ready and just be wait for one that comes near the Earth and then go up and go to it and actually look.
There's one coming, let's break, break, break!
So the thing is, of course, the debate and the conspiracy theory about this one is that it's making making its close approach there between the orbits of Mars and Earth. So not too far from us in another month, but on the far side of the sun where we can't see it. So some people are kind of saying, oh, it's aliens and they're kind of, you know, coming to us by stealth. This is the kind of
through the back door.
Yeah, you read online. However, we do have five orbiters around Mars and it will be looking at them next month. So we will get some
more information. Yeah. And what's the likelihood that it might collide with Earth?
None. Already zero chance. You know, any one of these would be one in a billion. Like, that's not something to worry about.
Okay. So you don't believe it's an alien spaceship?
No, I mean, we think it's a comet already, but that's not the completely rubbish. Like,
because people are talking about it's sort of, there's nuclear, that the reason it's travelling so fast is there's some sort of engine in it, which is powered by nuclear power.
Well, if you actually did the math on that, you'd realise that the power of something 1,000 metres long at those sorts of speeds would take more energy than nearly the sun generates. Maybe not quite that much, but maybe of a thousand there.
I know, but if this alien species are way ahead of us,
yeah,
in their development of technology.
Sure, I can never come back and say you're wrong. You know, but the point is that we think it's a comet. And by the way, we've done measurements and it looks exactly like a comet.
Yeah, just because I've been watching Alien Earth on Disney Plus, which is amazing. It's a sort of part of the Alien franchise. Really well made, very very good. Five episodes, and in that, you know, this big conglomerate sends a ship off 65 years ago, and it gathers up alien life forms and brings them back to Earth, and that's where the whole thing starts. And that's one vision, isn't it? And the other vision is where we go elsewhere and we sort of settle.
Indeed, and we're going through that debate at the moment because there's the Star Trek utopian or the aliens and Blade Runner dystopian future, and it's very much connected with our decisions as to how we engage that future. So, you know, I suppose the point with the aliens thing is that it's corporations running space, and we're seeing ourselves going in that direction, SpaceX and so forth, whereas public science would do things like Hubble and Voyager and all the rest of it. So, and I'll tell you where this kind of comes home to roost is actually on Mars, because if there's life there and we hope to send people there in the next few decades, should we disturb that life? Carl Sagan himself used to say, I think we should think about it carefully, whereas Elon Musk is saying, no, let's go there, let's nuke the poles for water. This is what he's saying, because there's water and out
just,
there. So this debate is quite current.
I've just finished reading a book about Elon Musk, and Mars is his thing.
Yeah, it is, yeah. You know. And his argument is that we need to be at least on two planets in case an asteroid wipes this planet out. Now, you know, it's a little bit of a premature argument in as much as we already know of all the threats that are, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Well, climate change is probably the biggest existential threat to the human race.
But here's what scientists like me will say is, you could build 1,000 cities under the oceans that would populate all the people on the Earth for 1,000th of the price of settling them on Mars. It's just so hostile.
So Atlantis versus Mars. That's the other debate.
Or the Antarctic. The Antarctic is a paradise compared to Mars.
Right.
So that's my take on it.
Why is he obsessed? I suppose it's because people have told him it's unachievable.
His intentions are good, and he's led by a book by a man called Robert Zubrin, who from the Mars Society wrote a book in the 80s called The Case for Mars, where he was the one who accelerated the idea that let's not spend $1 trillion on this, it should be done much cheaper. So the motivations are good, but however, when you look at it, it's very, most people even in space industry just know that Elon Musk, it's not achievable. The simplest mission to get five people to Mars would take 900 days and cost over $1 trillion. Now, where in the world we only get $1 trillion. That's the sort of costs we're talking about. They're vast.
No, but you see, the thing about it is we're getting corporations now that are valued at $1 trillion.
Sure, but they'd have to see a profit in it. So
the
model for a commercial basis on Mars was kind of proposed with this Mars One thing of sending people to Mars. You remember where they went, but they wouldn't come home.
Yes, and I remember there was one Irish guy in particular.
Yes,
we spoke to him.
But the thing, of course, is that they were proposing that they would die on Mars. And they would have died in a few. So what? Is Coca-Cola going to support that? When you look at the economic models of these things, they are very, very, very challenging beyond Earth orbit. Now, you may see corporate hotels in space in the next 15 years where people are going up for $50,000 a pop in Earth orbit.
Yeah.
But that's just way easier than getting to the moon or getting to Mars.
And today on the 1-2-3 quiz, we've 2 nights stay for two people.
That will come.
Hotel orbit.
Yeah.
It's fascinating stuff, Kevin. Yeah. So is social media driving, like, are people just having a bit of crack with this, having a bit of fun?
Well, as
or
we know,
are some people serious about the fact that this could be an alien ship?
There'll be plenty of people very, very serious about this. Absolutely. This is the thing, I suppose, social media is the great experiment, isn't it? It hasn't run its course yet. So you're going to get very, very strongly held views on both positions. And if, for example, the people who don't believe people landed on the moon, that's an unbelievably strong voice on social media. Hopefully we'll sort ourselves out and calm down over a while. But right now, I can promise you there are many, many people out there who will be not convinced other than that this is an alien spaceship visiting. That's why the debate arises, you know.
Kevin Nolan, lecturer in physics at Technological University Dublin. Thanks, Kevin, as always. Thanks very much. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.